to bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. In John chapter 3, we have one of the passages of scriptures that perhaps the Christians are more acquainted with, and in some cases through that acquaintance they lose the value. They hear it so many times, they say it so many times, and they lose the value. It becomes ordinary. But it is anything but ordinary. It is in fact one of the most extraordinary passages in all of the Bible. Where in verse 16 the Word of God says, "For God so loved the world." That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There was an astronaut. I heard this. My wife told me about it. She heard it on Grace Hour. I think Pastor Love told the story. There was an astronaut who came to speak to one of our churches in New England. And he was a believer. And he was one of the men who landed on the moon. And he said in his own heart, "This must be the greatest accomplishment of humanity." And the Holy Spirit said to him, "No. The greatest accomplishment of humanity was when the Son of God left heaven to step upon the earth. And it was the greatest accomplishment of not only humanity, but all of eternity. When God, the Almighty God, who is Spirit, who is the Creator not only of the heavens and the earth, but also of the third heaven and also of all the angels, when that God would become simply like a man who is made out of the creation, out of the dust, really who is nothing more with the exception of the soul and the life that is breathed into him, but nothing more than a collection of minerals and dust, that God would become that man." Think about that. You have an artist, perhaps a painter or a sculptor or a potter, and the artist is making his artwork. And he becomes somehow that artwork that he makes. Not so that he could make it more valuable, but so that the artwork that he is could be shredded. This is what God chose to do. But God is not a man. It is a much more glorious event than that, because God is not a man. But it is exactly what God did. Why? Because He so loved the world. He loved everyone that would be. He loved the sinner and the saint. He loved the prostitute and the preacher. He loved the world. This was not an ordinary love. This was a unique sort of a love. This was not a love that humanity can understand. It's a different sort of a love. In John 13:34, the Word of God says that Christ gave us a new commandment, that we love one another even as He has loved us, that we also love one another. And that word love is agapate. So it's agapeo, but with some grammar. And the grammar there indicates the present active subjunctive. And what it is saying, as we interpreted it, is be constantly loving one another with a divine and self-sacrificial love. Be constantly loving. But the present tense and the active voice indicate that it's you that's doing the constant loving. in a response that you have to the love of God for you. So that means you have to constantly be receiving the love of God and then constantly pouring it out. Constantly love one another. That love is a different sort of a love. In Matthew 22:37, it is the premier commandment that we constantly love with God like this. The only way we can do that, John told us in 1 John, is if we're constantly receiving that love. And so that means you constantly produce what you're constantly receiving. Folks, this is not a suggestion. This is a commandment from God. That you constantly love God. Here's the other thing in that. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now there, the love is future active indicative. That means in the future you will have this. In the future you will perform the action of loving your neighbor as yourself. What is it futured from? Loving God. If you constantly are loving God, you will constantly be loving the brethren. If you are constantly loving God, you're constantly receiving God's heart for yourself. Not for the brethren first, for yourself first. And that as it fills you, it overflows to the brethren. In other words, what God is saying here is, let me constantly love you. By this you will know that you're my disciples. That you constantly let God love you to the point where you are overflowing with the love of God. This is the hallmark characteristic of a disciple. That you love constantly. But this is not an ordinary love. In James 2:8, the Word of God says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the Scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. That word fulfill is teleo. It's the same word as the word tetelestai, which Jesus used in John 19:30 when He said, it is finished. It is the same word that Jesus uses of the finished work. In other words, what this is saying is the full manifestation of the finished work. The full manifestation of the gospel. The full manifestation of the purposes and intents of God's heart are expressed in this. They are expressed in the royal law of love. That word royal there is basilikon. And it's speaking of a law fit to guide a king, or such as a king would choose, or even the king of laws. This is kingdom love. We don't often think of love being a kingdom issue, but love is the premier kingdom issue. Because love, the love of God, kingdom love, is that which deals with and motivates the heart of the believer. It's in kingdom love that Christ is manifested. It's in kingdom love that the believer is conformed to His image. When the believer in Ephesians 2:5 was predestined, he was predestinated to be in the image of Christ, which is the image of kingdom love. The whole motivation of grace, and remember in Ephesians 2:6, by grace are you saved. The whole motivation of grace was this. That God so loved the world that He gave His Son. What is behind grace? Kingdom love is behind grace. Without kingdom love, there is no grace. Grace is that very expression of kingdom love that God possesses. Kingdom love is why God created the heavens and the earth. Kingdom love is why we were created. Kingdom love is why the blood was shed. Kingdom love is why God sends angels to minister unto us. It is all about kingdom love. It's not a sentimental love. It is passionate, but passionate in God's heart. But it's passionate to express God's character. This is why God can almost seem impersonal to us when He's extraordinarily personal. Because He loves us despite ourselves, because He operates in a kingdom of love. He operates in pure kingdom love. In other words, it's the love that drives the kingdom. Remember, it's a throne of grace, but what builds that throne of grace? It's kingdom love that builds the throne of grace. Kingdom love is first patient in its long suffering and it is kind. But why is it patient and why is it kind? Because it is kingdom love. It is the expression. Where does mercy come from? Mercy comes from kingdom love. Where does kindness come from? Kindness is grace in its action. Where does it come from? It comes from kingdom love. As a believer, always, always, first and foremost, before you even think about anything else, first and foremost, receive for yourself kingdom love. Kingdom love is meant for you. It wasn't meant for the other, it was meant for you. The love that sent the Savior to the cross was meant for you, not for any other. It was meant for you. But what about the other? What about Him, Lord? What is that to you? You follow me. You receive kingdom love. Don't worry about the other. You receive kingdom love. I remember years ago I was soul winning in downtown Baltimore and I had a guy come up to me and we were witnessing to him and he asked me, what about World War II? Whose side was God on in World War II? Weren't there Christians in Germany too? What does it matter? What does it matter? Was it God was in Germany or America or in England or France or any of them? What does it matter? What mattered was kingdom love. What mattered was that each of those believers had something special with God and there was kingdom love for them regardless of which side they belonged to. What mattered was that your life has been bought by the Savior, that you were the desire of God's heart because there is kingdom love. What matters is that you are the one who is precious in His eyes because there is kingdom love. You see, kingdom love emanates out of the King. It is not only His decree, it is His heart. When you come to God in the midst of your worst failures, in the midst of your worst mistakes, you're coming to kingdom love. This is why He died with His arms open so that He would embrace you. So that in your sin, in your failure, like the woman at the well, or like the woman caught in adultery, or like Zacchaeus the tax collector, in all of this, that He would embrace you. As you come to Him, because He is operating, motivated by, living in the heart of kingdom love. Why do we love one another? Because love is of a kingdom. It is that very force that is behind the entire kingdom. This is why we love one another. This is why pride found in Satan's heart led to iniquity. Because pride is the opposite of kingdom love. This is why he would not be tolerated in heaven. Do you honestly believe that if Satan got right with God, that God would not have done something for him? Or the fallen angels? But that was a perfect fall because they were perfect angels and never in their hearts would they be right with God. Because once it was done in their hearts, it was done for good. They stepped out of kingdom love and into the kingdom of iniquity. Kingdom love embraces the believer. Kingdom love takes the person who's in the midst of the worst trial, in the midst of the worst failure, in the midst of the worst attack. Kingdom love puts its arms beneath that believer and embraces that believer. The believer stands because of kingdom love. It's the mercy of God, but the mercy of God is initiated through that kingdom love. Love is the primary motivation, initiation, and action of God's kingdom. This is why we know that we can stand confidently on the promises of God, because of kingdom love. This is why if we don't have the capacity to believe, then He'll still abide faithful to us, because of kingdom love. This is why He will draw us with everlasting love, even though we may be in the midst of the worst failure. This is why I have built you and I will build you again, O Virgin Israel, in Jeremiah 31:4. Why? Because of kingdom love. This is why God could send them into captivity, but God could not abandon them there, because of kingdom love. This is why, though Paul was a mass murderer, God could use his life in the most glorious way, because of kingdom love. This is why, though Moses was a coward, God could redeem Moses and God could use Moses in the most amazing way, because of kingdom love. This is why countless believers, one right after another, even though there may be a failure, even though they may have weaknesses, even though they may make mistakes, but God uses their lives anyway. This is why you may fail, but you will never be utterly cast down, because of kingdom love. Kingdom love is for you. Kingdom love is for you. It fights on your behalf. This is why the battle is God's, because of kingdom love. This is why you can stand still and see the salvation of God, because of kingdom love. Don't you know that faith is energized by this kingdom love? Never reject kingdom love. Never reject kingdom love. Never reject its ability on your behalf. Don't say to yourself, see. Say to yourself, believe. Sight means nothing. Believe. Kingdom love overcomes all things in your life. Believe. Sometimes people will say, I've had bad things happen in my life. How can I believe? I knew a man who used to be a biker. He had bad things happen in his life. He was on a motorcycle. Somebody yelled to him, hi. He turned his head, hit a pothole, landed head first in a telephone pole. He was a quadriplegic after that. But after that, he got to know kingdom love. Oh, what seemed so horrible, what seemed so difficult, that wicked, evil accident, how terrible a thing that took place. And yes, it was terrible. But kingdom love redeemed. Kingdom love restores what the cankerworm has eaten away. Kingdom love takes all things and makes them work together for your good. Kingdom love takes a rarely terrible situation and turns the curse into a blessing. Kingdom love does not fail. In 1 Corinthians 13. It is incapable of failing because it emanates out of the heart of God. It can't fail. This is why no one must ever be condemned, because of kingdom love. I don't care how bad your failure is, kingdom love surrounds you. I don't care what your circumstance is. Kingdom love surrounds you. The heart of God will not allow you to go. The heart of God holds on. And it doesn't have to grab you to control you. It cups you in the palm of His hand. Kingdom love never forsakes the believer. Wherever you find yourself in your life, you will be surrounded there by kingdom love. Why? Because you are the beloved of God. It's that simple. You are the beloved of God. Kingdom love, folks, that's what it is about. The life with God is to get to know kingdom love. A life with God is to live in kingdom love. To stand in God's presence is to stand in kingdom love. Never deny that in your life. There are people who feel unworthy because there has been a religious lie that they bought, and so they feel unworthy. They see their imperfection and say, "Look at me, I am unworthy." And God says, "Don't you know that I make you worthy? Don't you know that kingdom love corrects the things in our lives? Don't you know that whatever was done in our lives and to us from the world or from Satan or from our old sin nature, that God will restore? When you fail, God brings you back because of kingdom love." Never become familiar with kingdom love. Folks, that is the center of the universe. That is the core of every matter. It is the foundation to everything. It is kingdom love. It's not like the love of a person where one minute they love and the next minute they don't. It's not the love like a person where if you cross them, they will no longer love you and they will forsake you. It's not like the love of a person where if they're having a good day, they are loving, but if they are having a bad day, they are not. It's not like the love of a person where if you're having a good day, they are loving, and if you're having a bad day, they are not. It's a kingdom love. It works with authority. This is why God said, "Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven." That is for the believer operating in kingdom love. This is why I have confidence in God, because of kingdom love. This is why I have faith. This is why faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of realities unseen. It's because of kingdom love. God establishes these realities because of kingdom love. God responds to the faith of a believer because of kingdom love. Every time the believer turns to God, God cannot help himself but respond to that believer because of kingdom love. It's poured on you. It's poured on you. But I don't feel it. What I see are my circumstances. What I see are my trials. What I see are my illnesses. What I see are my woes. What I see are what people done to me. I don't feel it. I don't feel it. You remind me of somebody. You remind me of Israel in the wilderness, where there were all kinds of poisonous snakes and they didn't feel kingdom love. But they cried out to God, and God put the expression of kingdom love in front of their eyes. And then whenever they looked upon kingdom love for them, they lived. Whenever they looked on kingdom love for them, they overcame. Whenever they looked on kingdom love for them, they became victorious. But if they simply looked at the snakes and the snake bites, they perished in those snake bites. Nobody said the snakes went away, but they saw a kingdom loved and it delivered them. Operate in kingdom love. Operate in reality. So many believers operate in really this delusion that something is different than what God has said. That the things that are in front of them are the reality, and the illusion of appearances is really what is substantial. But illusions are vapors that you can blow away with your breath. Kingdom love is immovable. Kingdom love energizes the faith of the believer, because faith is energized by kingdom love. As a believer is energized by that kingdom love, that believer starts to rest in that love. When you rest in the promises of God, you're resting in the love of God. It's not that you rest in the words of the promise, but you rest in the kingdom love that came from the promiser's heart. That is where you rest. That is where you rest. You don't rest in the words. You rest in the heart of the one who gave the words. The words themselves, without resting in the heart, have no ability to comfort or support. But God gives energy and life to those words in your heart. And that rest comes. Don't even try to believe God. Just receive the kingdom love that He has for you. Just believe the love. Don't try to get your life right with God. Just believe the kingdom love that He has for you. Because it's that love, it is kingdom love that will transform you. You have no ability to do it on your own. But the love of God transforms a believer. This is why you have people who've been in devastating situations all of their lives. And one day they meet kingdom love and their lives are utterly changed. This is why you can have prisoners who are murderers perhaps, or did all kinds of wicked things. But in prison somebody comes to them and they meet kingdom love and they're utterly changed. Folks, operate in that kingdom love. It is reality. Wrap yourself in it. Don't look away from it, but look toward it and run to it and let it embrace you. Because that is your sustenance. That is the meat to eat that they knew not of. That there was kingdom love in the heart of the Savior. Amen.